Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck here with Clay. It's going to be a showdown of sorts over masks on Capitol Hill, looks like. Democrats deciding to dig in even further to the mask mania side of things. We'll be discussing that with you. Plus, where are we on the infrastructure deal? Sinema getting some heat from her own side, Senator Sinema, for not going along with the massive spending package so far. That could all change. Plus, we got more lawlessness at the border, completely out of control. And we might even get to Chuck Schumer telling you that climate change is worse than COVID, or will be worse than COVID in a few years. But Clay, let's start with Nancy Pelosi letting everybody know that you gotta wear a mask in the house.
Consistent with the newly updated guidance from the Office of the Attending Physician related to the increased threat from the Delta variant of the virus, the chair wishes to inform all members and staff that masks will once again be required in the hall of the House. However, members will be permitted to remove their mask temporarily while under recognition.
Oh, I guess they're supposed to be thankful for that, that they don't have to speak to address the American people. Remember, everybody that we're talking about here in the House, you would think at this point, have they had a chance to get vaccinated? So what are they so worried about? Well, what is the big concern for them? The Democrats all parade around that they have all been vaccinated. I'm sure a number of them are vaccinated and have been sick. Clay, from the very earliest days, it was clear this was going to become a political signifier. Now I think we can just see that the mask is the MAGA hat, so to speak, of the left. It has been for a long time. And it's also an excuse for wielding power in very troubling ways. They're going to arrest right now. That's the rule. $500 fines for members of Congress who violate the mask mandate. And they can even arrest Capitol Hill Police, the Praetorian Guard of Pelosi, anybody in the gallery or any staff who don't wear the mask.
I don't know how this ends, but we've been talking, Buck, about what resistance to mask mandates should look like for much of our audience. And the perspective has been, hey, defy, but don't get arrested. Do we feel differently if you are a member of the House of Representatives? Because I kind of do. I kind of feel like it's doing your duty in some level to force the House police to arrest you, right? Is that a crazy position to be put in? Because I don't know what actually happens. Okay, it's a $500 fine. Well, what happens if you still refuse to wear a mask? And I'm saying, look, I don't want somebody who's unvaccinated to do it because I think it's bad optics. But I think if there are members of the House Republican Caucus who have been vaccinated, who may have been vaccinated and already had COVID, if they want to say, I'm going to refuse to wear a mask because I'm going to follow the guidance that the CDC put out just 2 months ago that the White House publicized in an effort to try to get as many people vaccinated as possible, I followed your advice. I did what the CDC said. I did what the White House said. And now you're telling me that I have to wear a mask, even though I've been vaccinated, even though that I might have already had COVID, I'm willing to be arrested. Because, Buck, I'm not sure procedurally where this goes from there. What if they refuse to pay the $500 fine? Are they banned from entering the House floor? Does the speaker have authority over something such as this to disallow a democratically elected member of Congress to do his or her job over whether or not they are wearing masks? I mean, this is a big question, right? I mean, and let me just say here, what if Nancy Pelosi decided that you had to wear a cat in the hat in order to speak in the House of Representatives, right? That would sound like a ridiculous request. Where does her authority, in other words, end? And I'm just tossing out a ridiculous hyperbolic example. If I were a member of the House, I had been vaccinated, and I had already had COVID potentially, I'm defying this. I don't want someone who hasn't been vaccinated to defy this because the optics are not as good then. But if you followed the White House's advice, the CDC's advice, why is it suddenly being changed? are you as fascinated by me as how this would play out if a member, and by the way, we got Kevin McCarthy, who's the minority leader, on in the second hour. Maybe he knows the answer to some of these questions. I'm really genuinely intrigued from a legal perspective where this would go.
Well, I'm also just intrigued about what this means for mandates around the rest of the country and the Democrat Party being completely insane. Because what happens on Capitol Hill obviously is political theater, but it has implications well beyond that. You mentioned Kevin McCarthy, and he is going to be joining us today in the second hour of the show. So definitely stay around for that. And here he is saying the Capitol Hill police have been ordered to arrest people on this mask nonsense.
If you're a Capitol police officer, you got orders that you work at some parts during the day on the House side and some parts on the Senate. If a vaccinated staffer comes across in the House side without a mask, you are ordered to arrest them, but not on the Senate. This is not the America we know. This is not Pelosi's house. This is the people's house.
This is health policy that in legal terms, you could say, is capricious and arbitrary, which has been the downfall of the mask maniacs all along. In the Senate, you don't have to do this, but in the House, you have to do this. But you don't have to do it when you're speaking. This is a little bit like mask up between bites. This is a little bit like we're going to come up with these completely absurd, arbitrary designations for what is acceptable and safe conduct, when even beyond, Clay, the basics here of why now, there's why ever. Why was this ever a thing that we did and that we allowed to happen? Mask mandates were dumb all along. Even Fauci knew it. And now they pretend like they can bring them back with us all admitting that this somehow was the right thing to do? I don't think so.
That's why I want members of the House to defy this rule, potentially get arrested, and see what the procedural posture becomes. Because there is legitimately no scientific evidence that is supporting the idea that if you are vaccinated, you need to be wearing a mask inside. In fact, if you look at Dr. Marty McCarry, I believe is how you pronounce his name, who's been doing an incredible job at Johns Hopkins, he said as much, that there is no one out there that can point to studies to back up the new CDC mask mandate. Listen to him.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, we have no studies at all to support this mask guidance. I'd love to see the data. You know, we're supposed to be following the science. Dr. Walensky cited some cases of transmission among vaccinated people. Was that one? Was it 50? Was it 1,000? Out of $42 billion that the NIH spends on research, we have zero studies that were funded to look at masks in schools. Yet we've put restrictions on 50 million kids now for a year and a half.
This is critical, too. Where are the mask studies? Where's the on a baseline level? Where's just the effectiveness of this as a tool for controlling the pandemic? And the reason we don't have that data front and center is because they can't compile it because it doesn't exist. That's point one. But then beyond that, we've reached that phase, Clay, of this whole thing where we know we can't trust their judgment about what's reasonable risk. We know we can't trust that this isn't highly politicized. And anybody who isn't recognizing that at this stage is just delusional, quite honestly. I mean, they're talking about the risk of children. Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director, brought up how, you know, they are doing this mask mandate because, well, it is, you know, more dangerous by some number than the flu to children. And I'm like, wait, hold on. I thought we'd already all agreed and understood this is basically not a danger to children. But they speak out of both sides of their mouths all the time because what they've told us to do hasn't worked. And now they're desperate to maintain the control that they had in telling us to do the things that were ineffective at controlling, never mind stopping, the spread of COVID.
Are you with me on the arrest side for the House of Representatives? Let's pretend that you or I were in the House right now representing the Republican caucus. We had already been vaccinated. My position would be that I am not going to wear a mask and that I am going to require them to arrest me to send a message, right? I think this is different. I don't want people going into, you know, Target or something to be getting arrested over whether you should be wearing a mask. But your representatives are supposed to defend your interest. To me, this is a very valid way to get arrested by refusing to comply with a rule that makes no sense, that to your point, Buck, is going to be used as evidence of why mask mandates should be implemented all the way down. If they accept the cosmetic theater in the House, then your employer might require it as well. This is an important thing to take a stand on, in my mind.
And just the fact that you take it off while you speak, I mean, this reminds me of when I was on that fateful flight that I told everybody about here, when they kicked three people off the flight, delayed the whole flight almost an hour to kick them off, and the airline attendant, who was so furious about the mask noncompliance, pulled her mask down at the front of the plane for about 5 minutes to shout about the mask mandate. I mean, these at some level, the stupidity here does need it. It absolutely deserves ridicule. It deserves mockery at this point. We're beyond. We've got a difference of opinion on this. They are living in fantasy land with this bull crap. We can all see it. But there's also the lust for power behind this and the ability to control people and the fear. And they don't want to let that go either.
No, and look, I think you and I are both saying, hey, don't refuse to wear a mask on an airplane and cause a 1 hour delay. Like, you have to do it. I have to do it. I'm flying to Las Vegas later this afternoon. I'm going to have to wear a mask to be on my airplane. I think it's stupid. I think it's worthless, but I'm not going to delay the flight or get kicked off and not be able to fly. But if I were, I'm just telling you, if I were a House of Representatives member right now, representing people out all over the country who are having to comply with this idiocy, I would force Nancy Pelosi's police to arrest me if I had done the research to know as well what the procedural posture here is going forward. In other words, does the Speaker of the House have to justify her rules with science? Does there have to be some indication or evidence of why she is changing the rules back? Because if I'm vaccinated and I already complied with the initial CDC rule, this doesn't make any sense at all. So I can't wait to talk to Kevin McCarthy in the second hour of the program and find out what he's telling his members.
Here's what's irrefutable. There can be no argument about this one point. And I also want to, we should get into like what Jim Cramer said here about how many people can get sick. I mean, as long as you're in panic mode, there's nothing that's too stupid to say out loud, and Democrats will back you up on it. But there's one quick point here, Clay, and that is they've told us that the science is settled so many times and then had to go back on it, that anyone who believes their science is settled crap anymore deserves whatever they get. But we'll come back into this in a second. We've got an absolutely essential obligation, and that is to make sure we help those who serve this country overseas. Born from a tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation carries forward a legacy of courage and heroism. To mark 20 years, Tunnel to Towers is gifting America's heroes and their families with 200 mortgage-free homes. To honor the fallen, Chairman and CEO Frank Siller walks more than 500 miles through six states in 42 days. This is from the Pentagon to Shanksville, Clay, culminating at Ground Zero on 9/11.
Yeah, and Towers of Light will return to the Pentagon and Shanksville memorials in remembrance of that nearly 20 years by the time we get there on 9/11. For the first time, those we lost to 9/11-related illness are also being honored at a ceremony September 12th on Veterans Day. Another first, the soldiers we lost in the War on Terror are having their names read aloud as well. The words "never forget" require action. Do good and take action now. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. You can find us on everywhere on the internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Search out Clay Travis. Search out Buck Sexton. Follow us there. Also encourage you to follow the show at Clay and Buck, as tens of thousands of you have done already. You can find us pretty much everywhere on the social media app scene. And the insanity continues to grow. We're talking about House of Representative Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying that she will order the arrest of any congressperson who does not have on a mask. And this is all growing out of the, I would say, panic from the Delta variant. And that panic is expressed by Jim Cramer on CNBC. Here's what he said.
Starbucks, which is getting crushed on a good quarter, by the way. Kevin Johnson's been talking about the great reopening, human connection. Well, what happens if it's the great reclose? I mean, in order to be able to get to herd immunity in this country, we're going to have 100 million people get COVID. With the way that this Delta variant goes, 100 million could be very quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if we got 100 million people sick in 9 weeks.
I mean, is it possible to say something that's too stupid so that people get embarrassed, Clay?
I will say this. I give him credit at least for talking about the fact that people do get COVID, because it's like natural immunity doesn't exist in any conversation that you hear in the media. It's all about the vaccine rate, who's getting vaccinated, who's not. And nobody talks about the reality, which is like 100 million people, a reasonable estimate that's probably too low, that includes Buck Sexton, yourself, and me. We both had COVID, and there are tons of our listeners out there that have also had COVID. There's even more people who have had COVID that don't even know that they had COVID, probably, right? You haven't ever gone and got antibody tests. You probably never went and got a test because so many people are asymptomatic. Over 100 million people already have COVID. And I would point to this, you know, again, focusing on data, India was rampant with the Delta variant, which is basically where this came from. And according to antibody tests in India, which, by the way, somehow they're able to do in India, and we can't manage to get a reliable antibody study nationwide done in the United States. I don't know why that hasn't occurred, because I think that all the focus is on the vaccines and how much money the vaccine companies are going to make. So vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. But in India, they have over two-thirds of that country has now had COVID, mostly the Delta variant, and their cases have disappeared. If you look at the charts on the number of infections, COVID has basically vanished now in India. One more time, if you look at the data, Buck.
If you looked at the data in New York City in June of 2020, based on the serology testing they had done at that point, they had 20% of the population with antibodies. So that was... Yeah. One-fifth of New York City a year and a month ago. And now you're going to tell me, if you extrapolate that out, if you look at what that would mean, it's clear to me that you've mentioned the 100 million figure. That's a basement level. That's a bottom line level.
Yes.
It's probably higher than that. But we also have to see, given all the mitigation, all the things that we've been forced to do, the shutdowns, the lockdowns, the masks, everything, how many people do you think would have just been infected in this country if we hadn't done that? I mean, we're already talking about getting close to half the population that already has been infected with COVID. And look at all the things that we did. You have to wonder, how could anyone think that these mitigation measures were effective? How could anyone really look at what's happened in America in the last 16, 17 months and say the public health community really nailed this one? They really got it right.
Itself.
I mean, no, the CDC is a partisan joke.
That's accurate, which is why I think we need to stand up in the House to this power grab by Nancy Pelosi. Will we? Be interesting to see. Gary in California says, I can't thank you enough. I'm 62 years old, just started taking Relief Factor. I've never felt better and will recommend it to all my baby boomer friends. My wife, 44 years old, happy birthday to her. She just turned 44. We are headed out to Vegas later today. She has got all sorts of activity that she does in her life. In fact, we got a boxing trainer that comes around. She beats the crap out of him for about 9 rounds every day. Sometimes she's tired afterwards, and that's why Relief Factor works for her. 100% drug-free product, takes care of joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain, created by doctors based on scientific research. It helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes to the source of that, and you need to sign up today. 3-week quick start, relieffactor.com, 800, the number 4, relief.
Somebody in this chamber is coming from a hotspot. Somebody represents the hotspots. And they get in a plane and they fly here and they interact with all of us. And then we leave here and we go home to our families. Some take care of their sick parents. Some take care of kids who may have an autoimmune disorder. And I just find it absolutely immature and appalling to somehow diminish it to try to score cheap political points. And that's exactly what we saw a few minutes ago. That is beneath a minority leader of one of the major political parties in the United States of America.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. There you had Democrat Tim Ryan sounding like a total jackass, which is really his skill set. He's quite good at it. He does a good job.
It's his brand.
And this, I just want to break this down for a second because we're going to have Minority Leader McCarthy with us in just a few minutes here talking about this and everything else going on. There's a lot of things happening in the country right now that aren't masks, but you'll notice the Democrat fixation is on this right now because they still feel morally superior in their long embrace of Fauciism. They think that they're the good guys in this battle against COVID. But let's just take what Tim Ryan said there, the congressman from Ohio. Let's take what he says for a moment and just unpack it. That if you don't want to wear a mask when you're in Congress, you're a bad person. You're a hot spot person. You're a risk. All of these members of Congress who are Democrats, I assure you, are sitting in restaurants, going to bars, doing things where they're around unmasked people all the time.
But they're also vaccinated.
Right. But the point is they're already being around unmasked people constantly, all the time. But in this one place, at this one time on Capitol Hill, they think that they're going to be making people safer by forcing people to mask up on pain of being arrested. I mean, McCarthy understands this. Minority Leader McCarthy understands, I think, what's really going on here when he says this is about people wanting to control other people. This is about...
It's just like their philosophy. They want to mandate. They want to impose. They want to tell you when you can go to school, when you can eat. You know what they're going to do if you walk into this building without a mask? They're going to charge you $500. Why? Because they got the power to do it.
I want to see this challenged, Buck. And what I mean by this is maybe the lawyer in me following through on the process. But if you get a speeding ticket, most people just pay their speeding ticket, right? Most of the time, if you get pulled over for speeding, there's a good chance that you were speeding. But if you want to challenge the speeding ticket, you have an opportunity to show up. You have a court date. Your arresting officer will be there, and you can defend yourself against the speeding ticket. Now, let's say you had an emergency. You were driving. You had a pregnant wife with you, or as we found out yesterday, a pregnant person, as they now teach in medical schools. But let's say you had your pregnant wife with you in the car. Maybe you feel like you were justified in speeding, and you want to challenge whether or not you should have gotten a ticket, right? Let's presume that somebody's crazy and gives you a ticket in that situation. You have the right to do it. Do you have the right, if you get fined $500 by, and this is what I'm excited to have soon to be Speaker McCarthy on in the next hour, but I'm excited to ask him this question. Can you challenge it? Is there a forum when you are fined $500 for something that is illegitimate in terms of wearing a mask? In most of American society, there is not a situation where a government official can just charge you a fine and you have no due process to challenge that fine.
Well, I'm sure you could take it into district court. And district court would probably say that Congress has the right to do this.
Do they, though? But that's what I'm saying.
Minority Leader McCarthy just said they have the power to do it.
They can put the rule in place, but is the rule able to be enforced if it's actually challenged through due process? And I used a crazy example, right? Like, if Speaker Pelosi said, hey, from now on, every time a Republican speaks in the House, he has to wear a ridiculous cat in the hat top hat, or I'm going to fine him. She's the speaker. She may have the authority to mandate that rule, but if that rule is challenged, what is, like, where's the next
court
step, in other words?
It has to go to court. I mean, it would have to go to district court. I mean, there's no special Congress court. They don't have some
That's what I'm saying. If I were a congressperson or a staff member, I would get challenged and I would take that into a court and have a hearing on whether there's any legitimacy whatsoever for the new rule to be applied.
The problem, Clay, is that unfortunately a lot of the courts have been very, so far, I would argue, cowardly, even at the expense of the Constitution, in defending rights against the lockdowns. We saw this most notably with a lot of deference given to states that shut down churches and places of worship while they kept other things open, or
no doubt,
very, had very specific and clearly punitive rules in place for places of worship as non-essential, right? Your church is non-essential, but going into a Costco to be able to buy a Lazy Boy chair to play your PS4 in, that was essential the whole time. So I'd be curious to see. We will ask the minority leader about it in just a few minutes. I'm also curious to see what the teachers' unions are going to be up to when they're already saying kids have got to mask up. Here's Randy Weingarten of the AFT, American Federation of Teachers.
We want schools to reopen and have a safe and welcoming climate in the fall. Delta threw us a real curveball. And, you know, the lack of the herd immunity and enough people being vaccinated and, you know, kids not being able to get vaccines 12 and under, while vaccination is the number one gold standard, that we need to, you know, bring back our masks for schools. We're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools, and we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
It's a political battlefield because they've made it one. Because the teachers' unions have sided with adults and the Democrat Party at the expense of children at every stage of this pandemic, including the unforgivable decision. And it was really just taking children hostage so that they could make demands for teachers to work from home. If the person who works at your grocery store or the drugstore in your neighborhood could show up throughout the pandemic, teachers could show up at least in the fall of 2020. But they didn't. And Clay, I don't think that they're done trying to extract concessions and use this, oh, it's about our safety thing. What are we even talking about when it comes to teachers and their safety? If they're vaccinated, children don't spread it easily to them, and they should be fine. But they're
it's
they
not only
they're
that,
not
Buck. They got bonuses. They didn't work for a year. They sat in front of Zoom classes for wherever they wanted to be. They destroyed the education system. In particular, studies out now showing, not a surprise, that the kids who failed the most during lockdowns were minority kids. You've got the Democratic Party that claims to care not about equality anymore, but equity. I can't think of anything less equitable than insisting that poor kids not be able to go to school in person, falling behind over a year. And Buck, we're talking about 18 months later in many places. By September of 2021, these, I think, frankly, indefensible teachers unions that are destroying the fabric of our country in so many ways will not even allow the kids to be in school in the fall of 2021. It's madness, pure, unadulterated madness.
There's been no...
And I know a lot of parents agree with me.
No accountability for this whatsoever. And there's also no accountability for what's going on at the southern border right now as it relates to, one, sovereignty, immigration laws, things like that, but also COVID, because... You know, you have restrictions on international travel. You can't go to Canada. There's all these things. But if you wanted to show up from anywhere in the world, you want to talk about hotspots, anywhere in the world, you can come across the U.S.-Mexico border. And they just this week, there was a report, 50,000 released in the U.S., Clay, without even the pretense of this is part of a process that's going to play out. They're just let free to do whatever they want to do. We can come back into that. And also, if we want to take some calls, 800-282-2882. But, you know, if Clay and I can save you money and get you the exact same service that you're used to in terms of cell tower connection, clarity of calls, but better customer service because it's based here in the U.S., isn't that a no-brainer? Isn't it really straightforward? Less money for the same quality of cellular connection with better customer service based here in the U.S., by the way. That's what you get when you switch to PureTalk. $800 a year for a family easily is what you could save. Think about, Clay, what you could do with $800, right? I think everybody could use it these days.
No doubt. I've got my 13-year-old using Pure Talk. Our family absolutely loves the service. It's fantastic. And right now, you can get unlimited talk plus text and 6 gigs of data all for just $30 a month. From your cell phone, here's what you need to do. Dial pound 250 and say Pure Talk and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Fireworks coming all over Washington, D.C. I think there's going to be some arrests over masks. Nonviolent protest, COVID style. Hopefully, these are mostly peaceful. We'll see what ends up happening. But, Buck, you were saying off the air, Washington, D.C., instituting their own new mask mandate.
Mayor Bowser of D.C., this is the report that we just saw in the break here from Julie Zausmer, who I believe is with the Washington Post. Yes, that's correct. D.C. will, this is just breaking now, require masks in all indoor settings starting Saturday. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, everyone over the age of two. The libs have lost their minds, and we really do need to tell them to go Fauci themselves. I've had enough. I've had enough. I can't handle this anymore.
That's why I'm so excited about the idea of this arrest, because I think it crystallizes the mask debate in a way where it's impossible to ignore and force arguments to be had. And Frank in Medina, Ohio, Frank, you say you are the former FBI chief medical engineer. Is that right?
Mechanical.
I'm the mechanical engineer. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Okay. What do you got for us? You got a take here on the masks.
So, hold on one second.
I don't know. We got a lot of people. We'll come back. Why don't we come back to Frank in a second?
We'll come back.
Frank, you got to speak, buddy.
I got it. So I'm a retired mechanical engineer, chief mechanical engineer of the FBI. I have 45 years as a professional engineer. I specialize in HVAC, air filtration, and the whole gambit when it comes to filtering particulates out of the air. And a mask, even an N95 mask, is 95% efficient against a 0.3 micron particle. The COVID vaccine is a 0.1 micron particle. So that's like shooting marbles through a chain link fence. None of them will be stopped.
The COVID virus, right? You said the vaccine. You mean the virus?
Oh, I'm sorry. I get nervous when you're doing this. It's the virus. The virus is a very large viral element. Most of them are 0.02 microns. This one's 0.1, so it's a very fat virus. It's still, at 0.1 microns, it goes right through an N95 mask like it's not there. Like it's not there at all. Like a marble through a chain link fence. That's the exact equivalent dimensional example. So it does nothing in regards to stopping the virus, but it does collect bacteria, which can grow in the mask. Now, remember, a mask is a two-way filter. You breathe in and you breathe out. That's not like a filter in an HVAC system. That's a one-way filter. So that causes problems. You collect bacteria on one side, and then you breathe it back in when you breathe back in through the mask. Masks should not be allowed. They should be stopped altogether. They don't do anything. They do harm. And as a professional engineer for 45 years, I'm telling you, they should not be used by anyone, anywhere, for the collection of any kind of virus. Now, if you're grinding sandstone, maybe then it's worth it, but not for this instance.
Frank, thank you. We just need to get Frank. Frank, once it was like a locomotive, you know, once we got him going.
Once he got him going, he was good.
Good to go. Thank you, Frank. And Clay, I just say, to his point about the two-way issue of the masks, I mean, let's be honest here, man. There have been a few times when if you had to go into a store and they had a mandate or something, I've put some grimy, sketchy back pocket of my jeans that I didn't know were there masks on, man.
Oof. Young kids are absolute disgusting petri dishes. Their nose are always running. They got boogers everywhere. I mean, anybody who's raised kids knows or has grandkids knows what I'm talking about. The idea that a kid in a mask is somehow making anything safer is crazy. And again, I love the idea of some of these House members getting arrested over this or getting fined over this, because it brings it to the forefront how absurdly ridiculous all this. 2 months ago, the White House and the CDC said, hey, if you're vaccinated, you no longer have to wear masks. All these Democratic politicians are vaccinated. In fact, they got vaccinated back in January.
And you're even establishing a, I think, a more crucial point in some ways, insofar as it is irrefutable. There was a bargain here that was offered as part of this. The bargain was shut up, everybody. Stop asking questions about how long the vaccine lasts or natural immunity that you get from the infection. Just be quiet. Do what we're telling you. This is the government. You know, the government's there to keep you safe and warm, which is not true, but people believe that. Get the shot and you're good. You're done. And you can trust us. Just like
you can go back to 100% normalcy. That was the bargain.
You can trust us. And now they're saying 2 months later, psych, fooled you again. And they're going to say, well, but you know, the data, it's so different now. They didn't say we think it's safe a couple of months ago. They said safe, good to go, vaccinated, don't have to worry. And the numbers will be so small that there's no real concern that anybody could have. Now they're saying, well, it turns out the numbers of infection are not so small, even for the vaccinated. They keep blaming it on the unvaccinated, but they go back and forth on this one. Clay, I mean, let's see. Do you think House Minority Leader McCarthy might be willing to, grab onto the dais and say, I'm not leaving, and they arrest him and they do the whole thing? I don't think so, but we can ask him.
We got some of his membership that has now gone public and said, Nancy Pelosi, come arrest me over the masks. We will play some of those audio clips for you. We got a battle royale brewing over masks in the nation's capital, Buck.
The problem we have here is we're playing sort of tyranny chicken, so to speak, with people who are actually tyrants. So, I mean, I think they're willing to go to the mat on this, too, on the Democrat side. But we'll see what we can come up with here in just a few minutes. We got House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy joining us to talk about this and much more. The Travis and Buck Sexton Show is rolling. Stay with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.